CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We get the intro music again? Is that just like randomly in the music selector? That's incredible.
Yeah, it's on a rotation.
Welcome back to Cody and Gold. This is hour two, believe it or not, of Cody and Gold. We just get the song twice today. Just me today, James Howell on the other side of the glass. But our guy Nate Taylor, who normally joins us on a Tuesday, will join us on a Monday because the Chiefs play on Christmas Day. Of course, Nate Taylor is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Call 816-221-1750. Nate, happy early Christmas, I suppose. This has got to be like you're a parent who covers the NFL and the Chiefs playing Christmas. So this week sucks for you, I assume?
it's not great. You know, I wanna say a Merry Christmas to you and everybody else in my beloved hometown. I also want to say Merry Christmas to Roger Goodell and Netflix because, you know, at least I'm getting overtime pay, you know, holiday pay, I guess. You know, my you know, Holly, my wife, and Hayden, my son, they've never seen Pittsburgh, so they're going to see Pittsburgh in late December. It's going to be excellent.
You guys are all doing Christmas in Pittsburgh?
Yes, sir. Yes. This was, you know, once the schedule came out, we were pretty much in a pickle because, you know, unlike last year, you know, I obviously we did the usual Christmas and then, you know, I headed to Arrowhead, which the Chiefs obviously, you know, slept walked through that game to another loss. This time, because it's on the road and it's in the middle of the week and there's no school, obviously, we had the ability to decide whether or not you want to go to Pittsburgh in late December. My biggest concern was that it was going to be like frigid cold, maybe some ice, maybe some snow. That does not appear to be in the forecast. But yeah, a lovely Christmas gift is, hey, kid, do you want to see Russell Wilson play football in person?
That's the same as getting a lump of coal in your stocking if it was if it was a couple of years ago. At least now it's just like it's like getting socks. You know, it's it's not a lump of coal, but it's like getting socks when you're that age. You're like, I mean, fine, but he's never going to appreciate that. That's a good gift now.
Right. And the hope is that this is a Christmas hue you will never forget, just because it will be so unique and abnormal to anything he's experienced before. My son is 9, and yes, we will still, you know, send, you know, the tracker for Santa.
Nice.
You know, we're going to have to, you know, maneuver some things, you know, from a parent standpoint. But yeah, I mean, as much as this is not thrilling for anybody involved, honestly, you just try to make the best of it. You understand that the Chiefs now need this game. That was some concern when the schedule came out too. It was like, okay, either they're going to really, really need this game or it's going to be an utter like waste of time just because either the Steelers won't need it or the Chiefs won't need it or, you know, Lord forbid both teams won't need it. But both teams do. So the NFL kind of lucks out in that factor, but I just hate that as much as my son loves, you know, hotels and the whole swimming pool and who knows, please upgrade me, Marriott. Come on, man. Like, who's staying in Christmas in Pittsburgh? But honestly, I just cannot believe that this game is a noon kickoff as well. I think that bothers me just as much as the actual plane on a Wednesday.
Worst time on Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, Cody, because it's like, all right, I mean, he'll wake up at like whatever, 7 a.m., but you're telling me that the Steelers finished their game technically around 5:30, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and they're going to play at 1 o'clock on Wednesday? This might be the shortest recovery time this late in the season for a game that actually matters for both teams. It's just idiotic. From the NFL standpoint.
I think this is where Chris Jones had a point. Like, if you're going to just stick it to these teams, which happens, right? Corporate partners, you're an NFL player, right? You want to make $40 million a year. The NFL will tell you, hey, you want to make $40 million a year? we have a 50-50 split. So if you want some of this cash is for all of us. Well, then give them a late buy. If you know you're sticking them on Netflix on Christmas Day, why was their bye week five? Like, I mean, this is the easiest solution, in my opinion.
Of course. And, you know, I would say that the schedule has not really been to the Chiefs' benefit all year, right? I mean, we're going to watch Buffalo have a late bye, and they're just going to play Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you know, in the position to chase the Chiefs down. Obviously, the Steelers, the Texans, the Ravens all had later byes. I mean, the Ravens just had their bye a couple weeks ago. In terms of being the first game, congratulations, you're a Super Bowl champion. You get the first game to play on every day of the week except for Tuesday, because, you know, you can't do that unless, you know, we're in, like, the COVID realm. But, hey, Black Friday, you know, you're going to be on prime time as much as physically possible. You know, the reason they got away with this, ladies and gentlemen, is because the game is not on prime time. Had this game been in prime time, they would have had to take one earlier away from the schedule. So, you know, but again, that hurts you, because if you had had a prime time game, you would have obviously, you know, a handful more of hours to, like, you know, not be playing football in a 3-game in 11-day stretch. And for as much as people say, you know, the Lions and the Cowboys do this, they do this in November. It's now late December, and all this injuries sort of accumulate over time. So it's a terrible nightmare. And the fact that, like, Patrick Mahomes is playing hurt, you know, Chris Jones is dealing with a calf injury because, you know, he just takes on more and more responsibility. It's all the burden of, hey, you're the NFL's darling, which means they want to put you anywhere, any time slot, any place. But that's not actually good for the product, and that's not actually good for, you know, one of the teams that's obviously competing for the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, the number one seed, and it's not like the Steelers. They're playing for their own division. They don't want to play on a short week. The Ravens are playing for the division. They don't want to play on a short week. And it's weird, because in order to make this schedule work, I just watched these four teams play. All you did was shuffle. Like, this is the worst game of musical chairs. You switched one thing. I just watched on standalone games, on their own day, all four of these teams, Nate. Like, this isn't even like a new product. I just watched it.
I know, right? And by the way, like, you're not going to see Tank Dell because that was
awful.
So awful on Saturday. Of course, we might not see Joey Porter Jr. because, you know, football.
Might not see Chris Jones.
You might not see Chris Jones. You might not see, I mean, even TJ Watt was just like a shell of himself against the Ravens on Saturday. So it's just, again, it's not a good product. You're just doing this just for a money grab, and everybody understands it. And again, is Netflix ready? You know, that's like the big thing looming over all of this is how hilarious would it be if, you know, as you're saying, Cody, we just saw all these teams. We're going to see an even perhaps version of all these teams again. And, oh, by the way, nobody can watch it. Or a very small fraction of the audience can watch it. I mean, it would be a colossal issue. But, you know, in some ways, the MVP of the Chiefs right now is Joe Tooney. The idea that this man is about to play likely 3 games in 11 days out of position at the most important position on the offensive line and trying to keep Patrick Mahomes upright with a sprained ankle injury. I mean, my God, what are we doing? Like, the more I talk through this with you, but I hope the audience understands this, like, as they obviously are running errands, trying to get last minute Christmas shopping, like, this is absurd. Like, this is totally absurd, and they should never do this again, in my honest opinion. So, which means, hey, 18 games, 2 bye weeks, see you on Wednesday, you know, 2027 bingo. Already on Christmas Day.
Bingo. That at least solves part of the problem, the double bye week, because then everyone gets one early, and everyone gets one late.
Yes.
When you look at what Joe Tooney has done, I thought he played better this game than he played in the previous game. Lesser opponents, but Texans are they've got some big boy pass rushers. I mean, it's not like they're bad. I thought it was better, but I still think the best version is get DJ Humphreys healthy by the Broncos game and let him do it.
Yes. The issue, though, is, you know, we're going into a scenario where, you know, again, I don't know if DJ is going to practice. The plan last week was for him to, you know, be available for Wednesday's game, you know, if everything feels right. But again, he might only get like a couple reps today, and then obviously the team has to fly tomorrow for Wednesday's game. But the issue is we may go through a scenario where if it's Joe Tooney again on Wednesday, basically in a, you know, must-win divisional round playoff game, we all assume, he will have only had 60 reps with Patrick Mahomes, you know, with the two of them playing together. It's so unfortunate that he had the hamstring injury, you know, very late in that comeback win against the Chargers, to where it's like, all right, we got to put Wanya Morris back out there. And then, of course, they realize, oh, wait, Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt are nearby on the schedule. Let's not do that again. So, yes, I think Joe Tooney has played excellent. Danielle Hunter tried a number of moves. None of them worked. It was awesome to know that, okay, it's like Joe Tooney understood everything Patrick did from Sunday to, you know, obviously last Saturday to get himself ready to play the game, and then took it upon himself to be like, he is not the reason we are losing today. I am not going to let anybody get near this man. I will die, you know, valiantly to protect my quarterback, who's obviously playing through a lot of pain himself. And his technique was pretty sound. He doesn't have the best arms, but he knows where to be. He can move his feet. He can be in the proper spots. You know, if T.J. Watt plays on Saturday, that'll be a completely different challenge. Now, you might argue, on Wednesday, T.J. may actually play more on the opposite side because, maybe, you know, we might see Wanya Morris instead of Juwan Taylor, given the fact that he couldn't finish Saturday's game. But for now, the offensive line looked actually functional, looked actually professional against the Houston Texans.
When you look at what the wide receivers are doing, Nate, I think you can officially make an argument. Like, let's just look at the we pretty much know the AFC playoff field. I guess there's still a chance Denver blows it and lets either the Colts, Miami, or Cincinnati in. But it still takes a lot of things to go wrong or right. Like, Cincinnati has to win this weekend, and then Miami and the Colts have to lose one of their final two games. Miami does not have a terribly difficult schedule, so let's just pretend we know the teams. I think you can officially make an argument with the return of Hollywood Brown that out of all seven playoff teams, the Chiefs have the best wide receiver unit in the AFC.
Ooh, interesting. Without even Rashee Rice.
DeAndre Hopkins is a capable veteran. I don't think he can separate, but he's a capable veteran who can make a difficult third down catch. Xavier Worthy has grown exponentially in the last 6 to 7 weeks. And Hollywood Brown didn't even look like he missed a step coming in for Mahomes. Not to mention Kelsey and Gray. So, I mean, like, when you start to saying, like, receivers on the field, I'm having a hard time seeing a team that has more offensive weapons than the Chiefs in the AFC.
Right. And let's not forget that, you know, Samaje Perine all of a sudden became Jarrett McKinnon on Saturday, too. You know, so he looks to be right on time for this postseason run. It's a great point. I mean, I can't necessarily argue it, because I think the two teams that would have the best tandem are obviously chasing for the seventh seed, Miami and, you know, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know,
it's better than the Chargers and the Broncos' weapons. It's better than the Ravens' weapons. Yeah, like, if you start turning in running back, and we mentioned Derrick Henry, maybe it's different. But
right. Yeah, the Ravens have an interesting group because it's Isaiah Likely, similar to Travis Kelce, you have Mark Andrews, of course.
Zay Flowers has been great.
Zay Flowers has been great. You kind of have Rashad Bateman. I mean, I guess.
He's fine.
It's not as explosive, the potential that the Chiefs have. And then you look at Buffalo, it appears that the injury for Keon Coleman is going to take some time for him to get back in rhythm. And of course, you know, they would need the one seed for a number of issues too, because we're now learning that, you know, Josh Allen is playing with another broken hand. So it's not like he's 100% either. Yes, Amari Cooper's been okay, but he hasn't been spectacular. And, you know, it really is Josh and, like, Khalil Shakir. I mean, okay. I mean, I guess.
Look, if you go to the NFC side, it's easy, right? I can mention Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams, or, I mean, Jesus, everybody on the Vikings, whatever. But
the,
like,
Vikings are so good. Yeah, oh, my God. I mean, watching them yesterday was really fun.
Yeah, I mean, Addison and Justin Jefferson.
Look, so good.
I mean,
T.J. Hawkins is like the third or fourth option. It's wild.
But in the AFC side, I honestly think it's the Chiefs. I think what stands, like, I pointed this out like 3 weeks ago, and I am not the only person who noticed it. I think the Chiefs did this on purpose. Like, 3 weeks ago, they started, Xavier Worthy got better right at the Bills game. The identical time that Rashee Rice took off is when Xavier Worthy started playing better in season. But also mm-hmm. what they did at that time was they started having him run all of Rashee Rice's routes, and he started doing all this underneath stuff, and I'm convinced it's because they knew Hollywood would do the other stuff when he came back.
Right. Or he's at least projected. And Gideon has the experience and the wherewithal to know, you know, how to quickly get back in rhythm with Patrick based on everything we saw in training camp, which, by the way, he was awesome in training camp, which is why the injury was so discombobulating for the rest of the offense. The beauty is now they're starting to become very interchangeable at multiple, you know, areas of the field, right? So you can have a Justin Watson or a Hollywood Brown, obviously, and Xavier Worthy go deep, right? All to varying degrees, but at least you know from the opponent, hey, Justin Watson can get over my head if I don't play it right. Now you have Travis Kelce and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, who can play underneath, who could be in the intermediate area, who could all, you know, both guys can make contested catches, especially in one-on-one opportunities against zone in particular. And, yeah, now we have the speed threat and the breakability of, hey, if we miss this tackle, Xavier Worthy might not be catchable in the short stuff. Hey, we might just go to a bunch formation, and the Houston Texans are saying, we can't do man-to-man coverage because you're too quick off the line of scrimmage, so let's just play zone. Oh, my God, he scored a touchdown on us anyway. You know, he got to the pylon before we could even react to it based on the quick throw of Patrick Mahomes. So they are starting to find answers. Of course, you can add in the screen game. You know Xavier Worthy can be explosive even behind the line of scrimmage, right, on these reverses, on these sort of bubble screens. So they have a lot of options. If Hollywood can continue to get better over at least Wednesday's game, right, let's say the Chiefs win, everybody, you know, Lord willing, stays healthy. But, hey, you could give Hollywood 35, maybe 40 snaps, and all of a sudden someone's going to be open at a consistent level, which means Patrick is usually going to find the right answer to the test in terms of secondary, which means if the offensive line can withhold for 2.5 to 3 seconds based on the speed, and to your point, Cody, the possibilities that you have from a pass-catching standpoint, even out of the backfield, this might be a harder test than what the Bills saw earlier this year, what the Ravens saw earlier this year. And obviously, if you have to play either the Broncos or the Chargers, guess what? All that stuff, all those games you played against us, all that film you have, it's meaningless compared to actually what we've been doing, you know, since the Texans-Steelers game before they see.
Do the Chiefs view Xavier Worthy as their number one wideout? He's got 11 targets in each of the last two games. That's the most on the team.
I think they are, kind of to your point, Cody, trying to get this man as many viable reps to get him to be at his most explosive and reliable self for the postseason. Because they did do something very similar with Rashee Rice. It was a little different in terms of the routes he was running, but they tried to give him the ball as much as possible because he is the thing that can really separate them against anybody else from a coverage standpoint. You know what you have in Travis Kelce, right? Who's just like, hey, man, I catch the ball, I go down, I am saving my body literally for January. You know what DeAndre Hopkins is going to bring you on a third down or a contested cast situation.
Yeah.
And obviously, like we said before, Hollywood Brown, you know, if he gets more opportunities, he should obviously get back to, you know, what we expect from him, what we saw from him earlier in his career. So the only guy that you could really tap into the potential and see how much you can maximize it between now and what we think will be the divisional round is Xavier Worthy. So it is smart of the coaching staff to say, hey, he's played every game this season. He has not had a major injury yet. So we know he's our greatest threat, and let's just give him as many touches as possible because putting that on film can open up so much for Travis Kelce, for Hollywood Brown, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Nate, appreciate the time. We know we're going to hear from Andy Reid. Otherwise, I'd ask you, who's going to play? Taylor, Humphreys. Jones. The list is getting long.
Yeah. Right.
But at least we know they're short-term injuries. We'll hear it from Andy in about 20 minutes. We appreciate the time, Nate. Thanks.
All right. Anytime, fellas.
Nate Taylor over The Athletic. You can hear him presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750.